Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Brian Ward.
Yeah, it's fantastic that, you know, to be the body together, you know, which is what God calls us to be. You know, we're all different parts and different members of that body, but we're all important in God's eyes. And so it is whatever we bring, you know, not all of us go out on the streets, not all of us go to pray, but we can all pray and we can all witness in our own ways. So praise God that we are a family together, and that's what he wants. You know, that's his intention for us as a church, to be his church, church generally, church globally, if you like. The church of God is about family, and we all bring that special gift to that you know, to the family. Hallelujah. Thanks, Claire, and for that. Yeah, where to go, what to do, what to say. It's amazing, really, of when we go into a bookshop these days, of how many different titles of books, the variation of books, what we can read, whether it's history books, whether it's science books, whether it's biographies or autobiographies, where, you know, there's so many different kinds of books that we tend to read in our lifetime. And this morning is there's something that has 773,692 words in it. 31,173 verses, 1,189 chapters. It has 66 books. It comes in two testaments. It's considered to be the most important book to ever be written. It was written over a period of 1,500 years, between 1400 BC and 100 AD. 40 different authors, from kings, prophets, priests, fishermen, physicians, tent makers, farmers and shepherds. It was written originally in three languages. The Old Testament was in Hebrew and a bit of Aramaic, and the New in the Greek. It was first translated into English in 382 AD by a man called John Wycliffe. There are now 2,018 languages you can read this particular book in. And it's a collection of books. And it's amazing what you find in this book when you start to read it, because it's not just about a love story. It's not just about wars. It's not about battles, just about battles. But it brings everything together. It's a book of poetry. It's a book of love story. From the beginning of page one to the end of the page. It's about a person who was a creator who created humans and everything upon the earth. It's a book that has authority. It's a book that was written, that was God-breathed by the Holy Spirit. It's a book that has been proven, canonized is a term they use. It's a book that brings instruction. It's a book that talks about battles. It's a book that talks about kingdoms, both heavenly and earthly. It's a book that talks about hell and heaven. It's a book that inspires us. It's a book that builds us up. It's a book that gives freedom. It's a book about really three main people. One who is a creator. It's a book that, when we read into it, it talks about reconciliation, about a creator that wants his creation back to him, how it was so perfect in the beginning. How many times have we watched television and we see these programs about aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters that have been reconciled after 30, 40 years, and I'm getting my hankies out. And yet there's been a God, a Father, who just wants that relationship with his creation to come back to him. Amen. It's a book that tells us that we've been blinded by the enemy. The world has been blinded by the enemy, that it cannot hear or see spiritually of this free gift that God wants for every person. This relationship that God wants for every person. It's a book that talks about armies and battles, about spiritual battles and earthly battles. It's a book that talks about victory. It's a book that talks about promises. It's a book that talks about how to live our lives, that we might get the best that God has for us. It's a book that talks about strategies. It's a book that talks about promises. It's a book that talks about do's. It's a book that talks about relationship. It's a book that talks about intimacy. It's a book that talks about a Father God who created each and every one of us that wants to have that relationship back with us. It's a book of how that has been achieved. It's a book that tells us about how he loved the world so much he sent his only Son into the world, whose name is Jesus, who bore all our pain, all our suffering, all our wrongdoings upon himself when he went to the cross at Calvary. It's a book that brings freedom. And yet, how many times have we read this book? Silence. Sometimes we delve into the book. It's a book that doesn't bring compromise, unless you take things out of context. I wonder how many of us have actually read the book from the beginning to the end. I won't ask you to put your hands up, because maybe not many of us have. It's a book that we sometimes delve into because, or should I say, it's a collection of books that we delve into. 66 books altogether. I think for myself personally, I've maybe read it from cover to cover about 3 times, I think. How many books do we just flick over from Waterstones and just read a paragraph? Or how many times do we get a book from Waterstones and read it from cover to cover? As well as taking out maybe a little portion for the day to encourage us. A book that encourages, a book that builds up, a book that frees us. Sounds quite challenging, doesn't it? It's freeing. It's a freeing book. How many books do we read that bring us despair? But this book brings us hope. How many books talk about love, and yet so many books out there talk about hatred? How many books talk about reconciliation, and so many talk about separation? It's a tremendous book that's been written over so many years, that's never changed from cover to cover. It's never been added to. It's a book that's never been taken away from. It's a book that will stand forever. It's the words within the book that will never fade away. It's called the Bible. The Holy Bible. Set apart, as we are set apart when we come to know Christ, from the world. But it's instructional. It helps us to live our lives. It helps us to stand strong. It helps us to have hope. It helps us to have a future. It helps us to be able to love one another. It helps us to be able to love our enemies. It helps us to love our friends. It helps us to love each other. It's the Holy Bible. set apart, a book that's set apart for a purpose. And it's a tremendous read. I never really understood it when I read it from cover to cover, but it was something I wanted to do to get a feel of what was in this book. So many battles, so many history things. So, you know, not just historical, but it's futuristic. You don't get that in many books, as well as about today. It's a book that maybe props up your table leg, I don't know. But it's a book that, not just in here, but when we start to read it, when we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells upon our heart. It's a book that renews our mind from the old thinking to the new thinking. I love it. I love it. It's a book that encourages me. It's a book I can share with others about. And within this book, the author himself is the Creator God. And we are his created. And his desire right at the beginning, when we turn to the book of Genesis, talks about how everything was so perfect. I'm not going to get into an argument or a row about creation, because I know that God is a Creator God and I'm his created. And his purpose for that was to have a relationship with each of his creation. And what happened was that due to man's pride or self-righteousness, we thought we could do things better than our Creator God. And so the book of Genesis talks about how the fall came in when we did things our way instead of God's way. And then you read the whole set of stories from prophets and kings and judges and fishermen. Apostles, about God's plan to bring us all back to him, to know that life, to know the freedom that he wants for each of us. It talks about a book that I've already mentioned, about Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, who came into the world, that he was a way back to God. So many people talk about, well, why are things still bad in the world? It's because of that first disobedience of man with God that sin came into the world. We don't choose to be born into a sinful world. We are born into it. We don't choose to have that. But God in his graciousness and in his mercy had a plan from the start to the beginning. He said, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so it's through that story, it's through this book, through this collection of books, we find really the heart of God, of what his desire is, of what his purpose is, of what his plan is. And so people's eyes begin to get opened, spiritually opened. People's ears begin to get spiritually opened. Because it's a book that overcomes the darkness. It's a book that overcomes despair. It's a book that overcomes sickness. Yes. Not in the book itself, but the person within the book. The author. The author. The author and finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ. And so it is with this fantastic book, that as we go through it from page to page, it talks about all sorts of things, the problems that we face in life, the despair that we may enter into, because this world is a world of sin, but what overcame that sin was God himself through his Son Jesus Christ upon that cross. And the promise is that whoever so believes in Jesus shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I never understand why people don't want this everlasting life. except through the blindness and the deafness spiritually that the enemy tries to put on people. It brings a freedom in the way we live. It brings a hope and a peace and a joy. That when we go through trials and tribulations with this world, which the book talks about, we have a steadfast, sure foundation in Christ alone. That He is my rock and He is my salvation. It talks about victory upon victory upon victory upon victory for God. That He's never been defeated. There's only one person being defeated, and that's Satan. It talks about Satan and the darkness, but it talks about the light that overcame the darkness. It talks about one who was raised from death. It talks about the one who had victory over Satan, and His name is Jesus. So within this book, there's so many things that it points to how we live our lives. Do we always get it right? No. But it's a book of forgiveness. It's a God who forgives us when we turn to Him. It's a God says, come here. Jesus says, come along. Let's get back on the right road. People say, why is there so much suffering in the world? Again, because of the sin that's in the world. Man's own self-righteousness, man's own pride, man's greed. There, but for the grace of God, go I. I've been in the world, but I'm now not of the world. I'm of a different kingdom. We are all of a different kingdom for those who know Christ Jesus. He's placed us in the kingdom of heaven. And that heavenly kingdom abides within us through the Holy Spirit. It's Him that brings a comfort. It's Him that brings a joy. The love, joy, peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. It's Him, the Holy Spirit, that tells me what my Father God is saying to me. How He loves you. Such a romantic book that Mills and Boone's got nothing on this, for those that remember it. Because it's about a love that never fails. It's about a love that has a compassion and a passion for such as people like you and me and for Scarborough and beyond about this world. That His passion and compassion is to draw them back. Come back to me. For my plan and purposes for your life are perfect. My plan and purposes for your life are not to bring you harm. And that's the compassion and the passion that God and that Jesus has for each and every person, for every generation. Come on, there's an excitement. That people don't have to end their lives upon this earth thinking there is nothing else. The amount of conversations we've had on the streets where we talk to elderly people and you say, if you were to die tonight, would you know that you're going to go to heaven? And some of their responses is, I don't really care, or I don't know. And I think, how do you not care where you are going to end up for eternity? There is such a place as hell, and people are blinded to it. They think it's just a word. It's a place. It's a place of such darkness, it's worse than your worst nightmare. And yet there is a hope and a future and a place called heaven. And a place with a God who loves us so much, He wants that relationship back with us. A place of rejoicing. A place where we're singing daily to a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. And that's a hope and that's a joy and that's a place that God has for us. And where do we find that? In the book, in the Bible. I remember as a young lad, you know, I was at school and
I was ready to go up to senior school, I think it was. And these guys came in called Gideons. I thought, what's a Gideon? I thought, I'm pretty giddy. I sometimes get giddy myself, but I don't know what a Gideon is. But what they gave us was little Bibles. It's a New Testament, and it had this little shape of a cup on it, and it had Gideon on the front, all given by the Gideons. A little purple colour. How many of you had those? Praise God, I'm glad I'm not the only one. But that was something that happened in our schools at that time. You don't get that these days. You might find them in the hotel room. Praise God. Remember when I was about 9 years old, I had to go to the dentist, had my tooth out. I was trying to find a verse that would stop me from having to go to the dentist. It gave you things in the back, you know, things that you're afraid of or things that you're scared of. Gave you these verses. And then I'm going to go to the dentist and get my tooth out. But praise God for dentists. But it says it's a book that all we need is childlike faith. Not to be childful, but a childlike faith. The little boy of 12 years old, was he, or maybe younger, that bought his packed lunch for his own picnic. And he gave it to Jesus and saw a miracle take place in front of his eyes. Jesus says, I can do anything for you. Just give me something, I'll show you what I can do. If you give him a little bit of time, he'll give us more time back, I'll tell you. If you give him a little bit of money, he'll give us more money back. We can't outgive a God who's a generous God who wants the best for us. And it's that which we carry within us is what we take out from here every Sunday. It's what I take out from my house every day of the week. It's a light that's shining in me that won't be hidden, that I shan't be ashamed. Oh, not all the time. There's been times when I've been ashamed. Not ashamed, maybe feared, scared to tell people about Jesus. Not anymore. Come on. Come on, church. Now is the time. We have got the answer. Let's give it away. As God gave it away free of charge. Hallelujah. Now it's a book. It's been written by a fantastic author. Sometimes I have so many questions about it. I used to go to different people to get different answers, and all the answers will be different. And someone turned to me once and said, well, why don't you go to the author and ask him? Pretty simple, really. Father God, show me what you're saying to me today. Holy Spirit, speak to my heart today. It's a great little, is it an acronym where you have a word and you take, what's that called? Is that an acronym?
No.
No? What's it called? We have a word and you can take the letters from of that word. It is? Thanks, teachers. Ooh. It's not bad after, I don't know how long ago it was I was at school, but. There's this little word I use is soap. I use it in the shower as well. But it's the word soap, and it's, I use the S for the seed. Who knows that the word of God is like a seed? So when I start to read the word of God, I'm looking at the seed that God wants to sow in my life so that others might be blessed from it. The O stands for observation. What am I observing as I start reading this passage of what was happening then? To my circumstances now. And then the A is application. That means to apply it. Who knows that this book says don't just be hearers of the word, but we need to be doers of the word. Application. How do I apply it in my life at this time? How do we apply the word of God to our circumstances, to our situation? And P is for prayer. I pray it into being.
It's not often I have silent prayers, because it doesn't really build me up if I say silent prayers. I mean, how can you say a silent prayer? You can't, can you? It doesn't make sense, does it? We're giving a mouth to speak, so as we speak out our prayers, as we speak to God, what happens is it encourages us as we speak it out. It also declaring to the heavenlies, who knows, a battle isn't against flesh and blood, but it's against the spirits. It's a spirit battle going on. So as I speak out the truth, as I speak out who I am in Christ, as I speak out my prayers, it encourages me. I hope it, if I'm with a group of people, I'll encourage the group that's with me. And it also declaring to the demonic world of what I am saying is the truth. And those lies that they tried to pin on me have got no hold. We need to pray it out. Pray it for myself. I pray it over my friends, over the church. I pray it over my town. Soap. It's got a great smell to it. Life Boy. There's so much within this book, within these books, this collection of books. We need to be looking at it on a daily basis. It's not just a once a week, get out on a Sunday. I need to be saying, God, what have you got for me today? What do you want to speak to me today in my heart? I might not be reading it from cover to cover, but even if I do read it from cover to cover, I'll still go to a passage, or I'll find a little booklet that you can get with daily readings in and use that maybe. But it's got to be a daily thing. Who knows, a plant dies without watering. The Word of God is like a watering can. It's the living water, the Holy Spirit. You don't get that in a James Bond episode or a Star Wars comic or whatever we're reading. There's only one book that brings life. There's only one book that brings freedom. And I want to live in that life and in that freedom on a daily basis. And I'm sure you guys too do as well. So let's be encouraged to take up the Word of God. Let's be encouraged to... It's like it says it's like a double-edged sword. It cuts through the bone and the marrow. It cuts through the flesh. It cuts through the things that I might lust after. And says, no, Brian, don't go near that, because that's going to bring you down. But come over here. Come over here. This is where you get your joy. This is where you get your peace. This is where you get your provision from. It guards my heart. It brings a peace. It talks about the Word of God is so many in different ways of trees and plants and flowers and all sorts of different ways that the Bible, the book talks about the seed of God, the watering of the Word. A double-edged sword. Have we got our swords drawn today? Are we going to have our swords drawn tomorrow? Have we got that victory? That word in season. A book that is so relevant today as it was when it was first written. A book that's relevant tomorrow and for the future until Christ comes again. A book that speaks about truth and not lies. Let's start reading the book together. Let's start reading the book in our own time. That equips us, that empowers us, that gives us a hope and a purpose and a message to go out. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? Do we believe it? Do we believe what God is saying in His Word? our Creator God that just wants that relationship with everybody. It says that none should perish, but all have everlasting life. When we look with the eyes of the natural, and we look out upon this world, and we see what's going on within it, it's a foundation that is shakable, but the kingdom of heaven is unshakable. The kingdom of heaven that lives within us is unshakable. And so when we go through these trials or tribulations, whatever we go through, keep focused on the foundation of Jesus Christ. That He is your rock. He is your strong tower. He is your hope. He is your provider. He is your first love. I don't know if there's anybody in today that doesn't know that love of this author. God the Father says He loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, His only Son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's a book that talks about perishing but life. It's a book that talks about darkness but light. It's a book that maybe looks upon hate but also love. It's a book that talks about the demonic, but also the supernatural, the light. Let's focus on the light and not worry about the enemy, because he's already under your feet. For those that know Jesus Christ, the enemy is under your feet right now. Just stand on him a little bit. Come on, we can jump on his head, you know that? Because of what Christ has done for us. So I pray that as we go from this place today, let's just stand. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to know this fantastic author, if you want to know the life that's within this book, if you want to know the life that it talks about, which is Jesus Himself, it says, no one can come to the Father except through me. No matter how many good people we see on the streets, it's not through good works, lest anyone should boast. The only way is through Jesus. And I invite you this morning that if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just come to the front afterwards. Come and see us here on the front row, Shona and Chris and Adrian, myself, this den. Maybe the person that you came with. And just ask him about the love of a father. That he loved us so much. That he wants that relationship with us. I hope this morning you've encountered a God of this book, a God of this book which is called the Bible. A God who is the beginning and the end, who knows the beginning from the end, who is the beginning and the end. Let him be part of your life now, today. I pray for you as a church family that we take something fresh this morning. It talks in the book about the manna that he used to feed, the bread from heaven, and the bread from heaven that we have today is Jesus himself. He says, all who hunger, come to me. It talks about a book that talks about thirsting after righteousness, that he fulfills all our thirst. It's a water that never runs dry. It's a water that sustains us. It's a water that gives us life. Just receive from God right now where you're standing. Just receive a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit right now. For those that know Jesus Christ, that fresh infilling, that fresh imparting of God's life. That river that flows down from heaven. Be encouraged and have the compassion,
that God has for you, for others, as we meet them on the streets, as we meet them in our workplace. Let us look upon people today as the way God looks upon them, as the way He looks upon you and me. And that's with the compassion and the love. Not to bring harm, but to bring joy. Not to bring hopelessness, but to bring hopefulness. Just receive right now. Maybe you need that miracle. Maybe you need that miracle right now. Just receive from Him right now. He's the giver of miracles. The book talks about so many miracles. And this is the same Holy Spirit. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Receive your miracle. The new job. Provision. That healing that you've been longing for. Deaf ears opened. Arthritis gone out your body right now. Pains in the back just leaving right now. Receive that miracle right now. Back's being healed right now. Come on. Receive it. Just thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Addiction's being broken off people right now. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. He's able to break that addiction off you right now. The addiction of alcohol or substances breaking off people right now. Just receive it right now. Hallelujah. It's like I see a picture right now. It's just like a river coming down from heaven. And it's just flowing over every person right now. It's just filling you from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. There's a freshness, there's a life within this river. Come on, receive it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Tomorrow's a new day. You can do the same tomorrow. Receive. Come under the river of living water. Come under the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Come under the author of life. Let Him speak into your hearts and into our minds. Let our minds be renewed on a daily basis through the washing of the Word. And that's what we're able to give to others. As He fills us, the river flows out of us to others. Oh, what a God. What a gracious God we have. Hallelujah. Let's give Him a glory. Come on. Let's start thanking Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Have a great week. Be inspired, and you'll inspire others. Praise God. As we said, remember the baptisms. Also, those that need prayer, come forward. Let your day be a new day. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.